Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most informational and entertaining auto detailing podcast. Yeah. Hosted by Marshall Hill of Total Auto Solutions and DJ Patterson of Eco Green Mobile Detailing. Grab a pint and enjoy.
All right, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast.
Hello.
Hey.
You like that?
I don't know if I liked it.
Let me try it again.
I didn't finish.
Oh.
Like,
but you still keep going. It's like one of those, like, you know, ad libs. Like, you just, like, throw some stuff in.
You did. Then, like, you just jabbed
it's
right
like,
in.
It's like a rap song. Like, you keep going. You got thrown off. Why do you get thrown off?
It's like a rap song? So I'm a rapper?
Like, thing, you know.
Let me turn my hat to the side. Yo.
Hello. Hello.
How'd that sound, Mr. Dylan?
Honestly, I love it. Yes. Go DJ style and just kind of keep rolling with it. Whatever happens, happens.
That's right, man. That's right. Whatever, I love it.
Whatever happens, happens. All right. We have a very young and aggressive guest on tonight.
He's aggressive?
He's very aggressive.
Like in his words or physically? He answered for you.
Both.
He's
taken after you and just. I'll let you guys do this episode.
We got this. All right, Dylan. So let's see.
He's aggressive in that he chose.
Come on, be nice.
Aggressive in his beer choices, and
it's a hard
cider. He's aggressive in his out of the box thinking for beer.
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to do the honors?
Oh, I would love to do the honors.
Yeah, and you went with the rosé. You went even
extra. Oh, you pronounced it right.
You rosé. Went extra.
He went with the rosé. Wow. That's right. I went with the crisp apple and also have a green apple as well.
I needed my 16 grams of sugar, man.
16 is like 64. All right, so Dylan, tell us about yourself, but first, tell us what it is that you love so much about Angry Orchard.
Honestly, I've never been a huge beer fan in general, and first time I tried cider was, honestly, I think it was right before Christmas. I was, at the time, admittedly, probably 17 when I tried it. Had it with my dad, actually, and one of my best friends at the time. We were kind of going through a weird spot in his life. Tried it out and first beer, quote-unquote, that I liked, and kind of stuck with it ever since then. I've tried drinking other stuff at parties. That's been the one thing that I've always gone back to for a casual drink.
It's just a good casual drink, huh? So
casual drink, and it's the apple flavor, the more of a, we'll call it the fruity flavor of it.
Cheers, DJ.
Hey, cheers, man.
So I'm with, like, so all transparency, when I used to live with some dudes, DJ, you can appreciate this. I live with some dudes. I mean, come on. I don't know. Like, I was fucking broke.
Dude,
like,
I live with three. I had two roommates.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm the only, really one of the only ways I made it as a detailer was because I had roommates. And, you know, if things were short or things were tight, like Jeff and Mark, man, they had my back. You know, they were good, solid dudes. But so I didn't have money to go get, you know, if I got done with a good hard day or, you know, whatever, good hard week, whatever. And I really wanted to let loose, enjoy the night, you know, get a little tipsy. I didn't really have the money to go buy, you know, and plus I didn't really know that I really wanted to go get liquor. And I would get Hornsby. Anybody ever drink Hornsby?
It was cider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was.
I've tried that actually, yeah.
But I think it's over 6%.
What?
And you could literally. I remember multiple times going and just being like, I'm just going to take this down as fast as I can. Like, you would take a couple of those quick. I mean, you're good to go. Like, so I back in the day drank a bit of Hornsby. So no. No major issues for me other than, you know, Dylan, how old are you?
23 actually now.
Okay, so.
24 in February, so.
Well, once you hit 25, man, you got one more year after 24, but.
You're going to have to.
25, you're going to have to kind of step up your game a little.
Yeah, to grow up a little bit. Yeah. Just don't drink beer at all, one of the two.
Well, again, I don't normally drink beer, but obviously,
this entire trip won't be. Sorry, we're going to give you a hard time. A little bit.
Yeah, it's
the
just
podcast.
The way it goes, man. It's a beer podcast.
It's IPAs and sweet beers. Like, we're biased towards them. Against them.
All right, so Dylan, besides our horrific appreciation for our guest that is on,
we appreciate him.
Okay. Appreciation of the cider that he brought on. I apologize. You're correct, DJ.
Goodness.
Dylan, we met you. You're in our Detailers of Oklahoma group. We met you at the Christmas party for the first time. Man, you're a fun guy. You're a big beast of a dude, too. I mean, I can cannons on you.
It's aggressive.
I appreciate it.
It's because of the aggressive part.
Yeah.
Tell us about you, man. Tell us who you are. We'll get into your story of how you got into detailing next, but just give us a rundown on where you're from, how you grew up as a kid, who you are, all that type of stuff.
Okay, so basically I started out, I have two brothers. The older brother, he's 28 now, I believe, 27. I have a little brother, he's 19 now? Wow. I feel old already. But basically, we grew up.
I don't want to hear it.
Hey, again, for me, we're at the age of starting to get older and realize, like, oh, this is actually happening now. So that's why I say that. But
you have no idea. I wake up now and I have to, my back hurts, my legs hurt. Like, it's horrific. I'm telling you. I remember guys that tell me, like, oh, yeah, man, your body just starts hurting. It's weird as fuck. I'm like, oh, man, you're just old. And I'm like, shit, they were only 30. Like, man, at 40, man, it's rough.
Oh, man. But, yeah, but basically, I grew up, basically in Edmond. Started out in Middle City, moved in life. It would be my fourth grade year. So I got to see both the not-so-privileged side of Oklahoma, and then also moving to Edmond obviously has quite a bit of money, especially up in Deer Creek area. So I got to experience both sides of the coin on that. And at Deer Creek, I was always a straight A student, just kind of who I was at my heart. Actually, why I started going to school up at OU. But graduated valedictorian up there. Just in general, always been very book smart, very science oriented. That's just kind of who I am as a person.
So you'll be the smartest detailer we've ever had on. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he said.
I'm pretty
very
sure.
Very aggressively,
said,
though.
Aggressive valedictorian.
Very aggressively.
Say that again.
I'm not going to argue and say yes or no on that.
That's not aggressive.
That's not aggressive, man. We thought you were going to, stick with.
I'll say it, Dylan. You will be the smartest detailer we've had on. If you're the valedictorian, then yeah.
Valedictorian. Book smart than business smart. There's the business. There's stuff I need to improve on. So I mean, friends with Josh was on the show. He's a smart guy. So that's why depends on what kind of sports you're talking about.
Okay. I can see, I can appreciate that, man. Got to look a little humble with his.
Yeah, I'm street smart.
Yeah. A little humble with the smarts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't book smart, man. I barely got out of anything. It was rough.
I don't know. For me, again, I'm going to school up at OU right now. I actually just got back from class. But just kind of always been my style, I guess. Just been, and honestly, car-wise in general, I've been into, but I used to suck working on cars, honestly. Back when I was like 15, 16, I could not, for the life of me, work on cars.
Work on like
any kind of like mechanical work in general, it was beyond me. I could not figure out the righty tighty lefty loosey thing or anything like that.
That's still beyond me.
I was
gonna
say DJ's like a pro now.
No,
like,
I don't know.
DJ does everything. He changes his own oil.
Absolutely,
changes his own wiper.
I hire that I'll do, but I hire for anything. Like,
you know that you go to AutoZone and when they say you want us to put these on,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, I know you do. You're like, yeah, man, you
care.
Can put them on.
That's nice. Like, dude, yeah, absolutely, you can. Why not? You asked.
I don't do anything either.
Yeah,
I'm horrible at working on cars. Yeah.
No. Oh, man. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. Just kind of growing up, I've got to enjoy both sides of life, and I have lived a very privileged and blessed life. I accept that. And it is nice to be able to grow up and see both sides of it. And growing up with money, my dad has always supported me 100% in whatever I do.
Nice, man.
And there's been some times that it hasn't worked out. But as far as like starting a business, all that, he's supported me 100%, which I'm very blessed for.
That is. That helps to have family around that does that. That's awesome. Don't shy away from that. I mean, give him the credit for it, what you're doing. So that's awesome, man. He's a good dad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do have an amazing family.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us about what it is about Angry Orchard that you just love. What flavors do you taste? It's just the sweetness of the apple, or what is it? What draws you to it?
Honestly, for me, it's the fruit flavor, I guess, the apple flavor. Absolutely love apples in general. Just any kind of sweet object or sweet or sour like kind of drink, absolutely love. So, excuse me. For me, the crisp apple, it works really well. And honestly, another one of my favorites is the Gold Slugger mixed with apple cider. Another great drink.
Oh, whoa. My gosh.
Ooh. So, dude. I've got a Gold Slugger story.
I don't remember all mine.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't. Like, I remember like, oh, crap.
I still think I picked up somebody's drink that was roofied.
Really?
Yeah, I was at a Halloween party, and we were taking shots of Gold Slugger.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, I was okay. Like, I was tipsy, but I was all
were
right.
Were you hurting the next day anywhere?
Well, no, hold on. Like, I remember taking a shot, and, like, I remember we going, like, well, whose drink is this? Like, nobody. Like, I just grabbed somebody's drink, was drinking it, sitting there for a little bit. I just remember then, like, I'm going to go outside and go to the bathroom. And I'm not saying, like, 2 minutes, but, like, some time had passed. I just remember I couldn't find my drink, and I grabbed somebody's random drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a pee, and I just go, I'm going to lay down, and just fell over. And I couldn't – I remember laying on the ground and trying to get up. In my mind, I'm saying, okay, I need to get up, but I can't. My body's numb. They have to – they finally find me. I don't know how long it had been, and they carry me outside to the front yard, and everybody's laughing at me, like, blah, blah, like – they put me in the car, and I still can't move my body. Like, they have to carry me. It was brutal. Next day, I woke up 100% fine, like nothing would happen.
Definitely.
Well, in that case, I don't know if you see, roofies, like, when it hits you the next day, like, you feel horrible.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, the only reason I say that is
hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Because us and all the listeners, too, are just like, hold on.
Wait, what?
How do you know this?
Long story short, went out to Vegas for SEMA, happened to meet one of the producers from South Park, and I drink a lot as is, but going out there, they're buying us drinks, worked out well, and I went and drank the same amount as my dad. I know I can outdrink him any day of the week. Tonight, for whatever reason, he was doing just fine, and I couldn't walk. So, yeah, the next day, I was hungover, again, something that doesn't happen for me.
So you got roofied or what?
I had to have because, I mean, literally, I went from being okay to I can't walk. I'm having issues, like, focusing, vision's getting blurry. I mean, it hit everything at once.
No, roofied, you can't move. Like, that's the point of roofie. Like I think when you roofie a girl, I get, like, it's so they can't move and they just sit there.
Okay. Agreed. What I think it was is it wasn't a big enough dose to hit me. That I think is the problem.
You think the South Park, the creators of South Park, roofied you so that they could, you know, create an episode around violating you?
Absolutely.
Well, so the guy that I met was homosexual, and we were kind of making jokes at it. And when it happened, I was like, no, like, she wouldn't do that. And then we start thinking back on, he did invite us out to, like, his yacht and all that. We're like, I don't know. Maybe he was hitting on us more than we thought.
I think your head's a little big. I mean, you're a good-looking dude, but I don't know if anyone wants to take advantage of you like that. Too many angry orchards, man.
I don't know. Let's move on.
We're
going to
move on from that
story. Let's move on from that story. No, I get it, man. I get it. I don't know if I was roofied either. I just always blame it on that. Maybe I was a weak-ass bitch and couldn't take my Gold Slugger, but... I mean,
protect our ego show somehow.
Yeah, well, I blame it on the roofie. That's what I do.
Blame it on the goose.
All right, so Dylan, we wanted to have you come on because we talked with you at the Christmas party with the Detailers of Oklahoma. We try and do workshops as well as have different events. One of those regular events is a Christmas party. We tried to do it in a different area. And thank you so much to Darren at Route 66 Auto Detail for hosting it. We got a chance to meet with you. We're in the group, so we've seen you on there, but then actually getting to meet you in person was really cool, man. Like I said, I mean, you're a really cool dude. And what you had mentioned that you got into detailing. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You tell us you were working for someplace and then you decided to go into detail. Tell us that story.
So that time I was working at Discount Tire. I'd worked in several stores. I'd been there for roughly 4.5 years. And I had just polished up my Camaro and gotten me into it, I guess, through one of my friends. The details out in North Carolina. And so he kind of guided me through my first paint creation kind of thing. And of course, I put the glaze on at the very end. I'm like, oh, it looks so great kind of thing. Posted a picture up. And one of my buddies hit me up. Hey, you want to come do my car? Sure, why not? I enjoy it. So I went over and did his car. And at the time, we were cutting back hours at discount. So I was like, sure. Like, you know, let's try to do this on the side. My dad talked to me about it. So I was like, hey, let's kind of try it out. Got approved for it from one of the managers. Went and talked to the head store manager at the time. And there was a respect issue that was there, which is why I decided to leave. But long story short, just wanted to have a simple 5-minute conversation. He basically wouldn't allow a private conversation to happen about this. And so I turned him on 2 weeks, which was a nerve-wracking thing to do right off hand, not have anything set in stone. And so I sold my motorcycle 2005 Fisher 1000 and got, I think it was $4,300 for it. So I ended up finding me a 1995 E250 van, you know, the lovely, hey kid, you want some free candy van? Yes. Always the jokes about it. And just kind of started from there, but I went the traditional route. I feel like how everyone kind of starts, you go to the AutoZone and buy some like microfiber cloths, some drying towels and that kind of stuff and some smaller stuff. And then I bought, McGuire's. But McGuire's APC, that kind of stuff, and just kind of start out with what you've researched, but nothing super crazy. I mean, you're looking back, like, I'm like, there's a lot of stuff you can improve on, as it should be. But that's pretty much how I started, was initial just, I wasn't happy with where I was at, and I'm very ambitious as is, so I chose to continue on to something that I feel like could make my life better.
That's awesome. I mean, I think what DJ and I really liked about and look forward to this episode is, I mean, we were the same way. I was working at a church that was sort of, I mean, I grew up completely Southern Baptist, very conservative. When I say conservative, and I don't think people really understand, when I grew up, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then we would have, I think, sometimes another Bible study in between. Like,
oh, wow.
Like I was indoctrinated into the Southern Baptist religion very thoroughly. You know, my parents were amazing. It wasn't ever like it wasn't bad. Like it was like you talked about, you know, you lived a good life. And I lived a good life too. I mean, very easy, very conservative. But you know, this is the way I grew up. I started working at a church. I was not happy at the church. And I had a buddy that just kind of randomly said, why don't you start cleaning cars? So I started cleaning cars, and I was trying to remember when you said that you just went to the auto parts store where that's where you got your first chemicals. I was trying to remember where I got my first chemicals. And I probably did too. I probably went to, I might've even gone to Walmart. I don't remember. Like I just got some random stuff because there was this girl that I was trying to date. And I said, hey, I'm starting a detailing business, you know, and she goes, oh, my parents need their car detailed. And that was the first car that I cleaned. And I think I just scrambled and went and bought some random stuff. And like, it took me like 8 hours to clean it. Like,
yeah, that's how it always is. That first initial detail, you're like, yeah, we're pretty sure we got everything. And you start looking through, like, oh, no, I missed this and this. And sometimes it should take you 2.5 hours and you're going to spend 8-9 hours on. You're like, well, how are we going to do this now?
Yeah, I went into the buddy that had talked me into it. I went into him and like, oh, and he's like, bro, you'll get faster. It'll be okay. I'm like, That's funny. DJ, do you remember some of the first stuff that you bought?
When I first started mobile?
Yeah.
What'd you sell me? Let's see. Because I was using waterless.
Yeah, I mean, it was waterless, and then we probably just grabbed some of the stuff from the car wash.
Yeah, literally.
I think you probably did skim off the top.
I probably did.
You
know, you here.
Waterless?
What's that?
You started waterless?
Yeah, so Marty owned a car wash. You know Zud's on 101st or
– No, he's in Edmond.
So. Okay. Well, there's a pretty popular car wash here in Bixby right in front of Lowe's. And
now it's called Bixby Cruising.
Correct. And Marty owned that car wash. Long story short, I came in. I got a job there, and I worked for him for several years. And he ended up leaving to go do something else, and I stayed there. And he called and was like, hey, man, like, you got to come to my house and check out this waterless wash. I'm like, what do you mean? How do you wash car without any water? Like, I'm literally at a car wash right now. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And it was just a history from there. But yeah, I quit there, left there, got fired, whatever you want to say. And worked out of the trunk of my car for quite some time. But I was able to work out of the trunk of my car because I had no power washers, no water tanks and so forth. So yeah, I've been doing that since I first went mobile.
Very nice. Yeah, I was actually against waterless for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Swapped to O&R after I swapped to rinseless. I was like, let's try waterless. And after I tried it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I definitely like it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's much easier.
So, Dylan, I mean, this is – when did you start? When did you leave? We're at 2019. When did you –
It'll be 2 years ago as of March, actually.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you remember? Yeah, I would hope so. 2 years ago, you're still young. I don't know if I remember everything from 2 years ago, but you're a valedictorian, so we got to hold it against you. Give us the very first steps. You know, first step, second step, third step, the things that you did.
So. First thing I did was planning out the initial cost. How much is it going to cost me per car? The initial startup, how much is it going to cost? If you don't know how much it's going to cost, I mean, per car, you're already going to set yourself up very if you don't know how much you're spending on chemicals per car and all that. So that was my first thing was how much is it going to cost me every time I wash a car or every time I do whatever package I decide on, how much will it cost me? And based on that, I kind of get a general idea of, like, okay, what can I get away with on pricing? Which initially when I started out was the $100 details. So you kind of have to set up a few things, which for me was pricing, how much, what are you going to charge, why, what products you're going to use that's going to both provide a quality product and not break the bank with whether you use them, which is once we start getting to the bulk buying, it made so much more sense. It definitely helps out a lot.
Yeah, but so you your first step, you're saying you picked products? That was your first thing?
No, for me, it was planning out just general costs. That was my thing is after I sold my bike, my startup money, we'll say it, I needed to plan out. I had decided I wanted to go mobile.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think you said that earlier and we didn't really quite hear it. I think that's a very, very important thing is what you just said. So slow down. Say it one more time. You sold what?
My motorcycle.
And why did you sell your motorcycle?
For the initial startup funds.
Wow.
It was a play toy. So might as well, dude, if I want to do something, might as well invest in yourself.
That's pretty big, though, because a lot of guys that I know, there's no way they would sell a toy to reinvest in their business.
DJ and I, cheers. Cheers to you, bro, man.
Hats off to you, man.
Yeah, that's very nice. So you're right. I mean, most guys would try and do more than they bite off.
Yep.
You sold something
that was fun
to invest it into what you're going to do.
That's awesome.
You
could buy a better one in.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, you can always buy another one. DJ and I, as we get older and, you know, we've decided we'll never own a motorcycle because the risk reward is way too much if you got kids. So
I probably won't ever own one.
Yeah, but, you know, good for you. So you sold that. You set your business prices, I think is what you said.
Yeah, for me it was I needed to find out pricing, how much everything's going to cost. So that's what I started with was what is it going to cost me per vehicle to wash car? What products will match into this pricing of what I'm going to charge, and just kind of set that up, which I spent, I think that first night when I was looking into it, probably 4 or 5 hours of trying to figure out what I wanted to use and how much I'm going to charge and that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Second step?
Second step after that was find a way to actually get this to my door. So ordered products, obviously, and I went out on Craigslist and bought the van. And I wanted to have enough money, which I think it's always important, is to have a backup plan. So just because you have, or in my case, I had $4,500, don't spend all $4,500 at the initial startup. That's, in my opinion, you definitely need a backup plan.
Cheers to that.
Cheers again.
Cheers to you.
All right. Keep going.
And after that, I ended up buying the van. I think I had all said done after I picked the van up for $1,300.
No, you ruined it. I was about to say. So you bought a brand new van that's an Ecoline and cost you $30,000, and you then invested another $10,000 in a wrap and another $5,000 in equipment, and you're sitting at $40,000.
What about training for $2,000?
Well, but
grand.
No, we're just talking the vehicle.
I know, I'm just BSing, but
so you're invested in it like a brand new vehicle and fully wrapped and a whole bunch of equipment, and you're sitting at $40,000, right?
Oh no, that's later on in the story. That's where we're getting close towards now, finally.
Yeah.
But I'm facetiously joking.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I understand.
So,
because some guys will go out and blow a ton of money with no client base whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely don't need to do that.
So you bought a what?
The 95 E250. Again, it was kind of an old beat up van.
2017.
No, 95.
No, 19, it was 95. Year 2017.
It's 2.5 years.
Oh, yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
2017, and you bought a
2005.
No, 95.
Yeah, 95. Yeah,
holy,
I like it. Holy. I like it. I like it.
300,000 miles,
yeah, bro.
Had 280.
I was right.
Uh huh. I like it. So for me, I had a Isuzu Rodeo. And that's what I started with at first. And then, you know, I was driving that with a trailer. I later then decided, you know what? I should probably have a van just because I could have everything inside.
I remember that van.
I'd have the trailer to
– you remember? The white van?
No. This is 2000. You didn't know me at this point.
Okay.
So this is a funny story. I started looking for a van. I found a guy that used to wrestle at OSU. He was crippled his senior year, and so the school bought him it was a 1978 van. It still had shag carpet all inside. It was orange for OSU, and it had everything OSU all in it with shag carpet. It only had like 15,000 miles on it because, I mean, he was disabled. He didn't really drive it much. But this was 2003 buying a 1978 van.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious. It was definitely hilarious.
Wow.
No, you're thinking of the chemical vans. I started the chemical company with a Ford Ranger that still had the green clean stuff all over it. And when I decided I need to get something that could carry more than a couple of things.
5 gallons.
Yeah. I bought these old Dodge CNG vans.
Oh, you bought a couple of them.
I bought a couple because they kept blowing out and messing up because they were so old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I've gotten zoned out there. I was sitting there thinking about what you're saying. The thing that I think is important here is, I at the time I started this, I lived in an apartment complex. So whatever I was doing, as far as like work-wise, had to be able to confine to their apartment rules. So if any of you out there want to start this and you live in an apartment complex, you can do it. There is ways to do it. But yeah, after I bought the van, let's see, pretty much what I started out with was I reached out to my friends and family. They're like, hey, do you mind if I like do a detail for you? And posted up actually in a few Facebook groups, just old neighborhood groups, that kind of stuff. And it's one of those that starts out slow, but at time I needed, again, it's all about planning ahead, trying to figure out what your cost is, how much do you need to live. That's kind of what I was always afraid of was, am I going to have enough money to eat kind of thing, which family-wise I wouldn't starve, obviously, but it's always a fear in the back of my mind. So I think I calculated out to 2 details a week I need to do. So pretty much as long as I get 2 details a week, I was going to be okay. Not a big issue.
2 details a week.
Right. Yeah, that's the good life.
Yeah, right.
About 500.
Right. Which, honestly, the first summer I started it, my little brother worked for me at the time, and we were doing hair guard details for full detail, inside and out, wash, wax, all that fun stuff. No limits on pretty much anything, which it taught me a lot, got me better at detailing, and kind of realized what I needed to work on, which the first month, I would say, is a very harsh learning curve, really, so much for me of how to deal with people, different expectations, different things. It helped out a lot.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Trying to think, let's see, after that, it was mainly, I just kind of kept grinding. Facebook is probably my biggest platform. I don't actually have an actual website set up, just because I still am a part-time editor. I'm a full-time student at OU, so.
Oh, nice.
A nice work balance between both is very important.
So I guess you have your classes in the evenings,
Well, kind of spread out throughout the day. Thursday, like tomorrow, I have a class from 9:30 to 10:20, and then a class starting at 3 to 6, basically, after that. So if I want to get a detail in, it's pretty much right after I leave that class. Got to get one knocked out, assuming it's anywhere near Norman. And then I got to head back up there, go back to class.
Yeah. So Marty kind of filled me in a little bit about you. So you work with some detailers in Oklahoma. So I guess, quote unquote, competition, right?
Yes.
So how has that like helped or hurt your business as far as like, you know, bringing in money or whatever, like, or helped your skills out or helped give you content? Like, what ways has it benefited you and not so much at the same time? Working with someone within competition in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all in the same business. So we are competition in that sense. But I've met a lot of great people through detailing. I mean, Josh Parks, Dan over at NJT, Rob. Actually, I've been working with Johnny on the spot as well.
Oh, nice.
I've worked with several different companies, Brian Minkey. But it's all about, to me, I've never understood the cutthroat environment that a lot of people let you kind of deal with. In my opinion, there's enough cars around for everyone. I mean, if you're booked out 2 weeks, like, there's some cars you're not going to be able to get to. So you might as well have someone that can do a good job or reputable job that's going to represent your name well. So that's kind of how I saw it, is as long as you make friends with other people in the business that you know you can trust, kind of who I stick with, know that if you ever need someone to cover your job or you can't get to it or they need help, it's all about kind of passing around help, in my opinion. Like, at the end of the day, yes, we're all competition, but you're getting through, one, you're building friendships, good business relations, and two, they will teach you so much more, in my opinion. I mean, Josh is a great business person. I mean, knows business very well, and has taught me quite a bit. And so that's what I think is just kind of important, is as long as you're in the business and not being selfish, all about the, like, I'm better than everyone, I don't need anyone's help kind of thing, I think you're going to be okay. And just be friendly and kind of realize who's out who's out to get you, which most people aren't, and who's going to get your back.
Yeah. So let's take a beer break. We have definitely moved away from Angry Orchard.
Wow. Oh, that's sad.
No. But it's not, though. It's very good.
I mean, for you guys, sure. I mean, which beer are you guys on now?
We moved to, so we're going through this new Belgium variety pack, and we are drinking the new Belgium Fat Tire. And
I've actually heard of that one, believe it or not.
Yeah, so this is one of their special editions, the Belgian White. I really would like to. We need to go sit down with Mason or somebody to get us to figure out why is it white. I bet you it's in their malt. I bet you they switch up their malt a little bit. DJ, what do you think?
I love it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like Fat Tire is good anyway.
Really good.
But this like smooths everything out. I did, if anybody wants to go back and listen to a podcast that I did, we were up in Denver and went to where did we go? We went up. I think we were actually in Fort Collins. Yeah, we were. There's a car wash there that does a lot of YWAX with us, and I went over there, and he was like, "Yeah, you need to go over to that the New Belgium brewery." And I was like, "Oh shit, I forgot it's right here." So I ran over there and did like a little 30-minute segment sitting out at the New Belgium brewery and sitting right outside, and it's just beautiful area, and that was my first time to try the Belgian White, and it was amazing. And this is too. I don't know what it is that's different about it, but so good. Maybe because it smooths away from all the sugar. I don't know. But it's amazing. I love the beer. It's got a really great flavor. Super easy to drink. We just needed to take a beer break and talk about what we were sipping on too.
Yeah, I definitely want to try. I need to expand my beer horizons. I really do. That is something that I haven't worked on. And beer is an acquired taste. So
this is very much. You're exactly right. I mean, so what beers have you tried? You know.
So Bud Light and all that fun stuff, like the general like Bud Light, Miller Light.
You're missing the best light ever though, dude. It's Coors Light.
All of it. I just never been a fan of it. And honestly, the only beers I've liked have been more of the craft beers, and it's few and far in between. But there was like a blueberry one I've tried that I actually enjoyed, but. It's very few and far in between.
Yeah, I get it. And for me, I honestly, like, at that age, I didn't drink. Like, that's why I drank cider. And I drank a couple of, like, I remember drinking Miller Lite and drinking stuff. But we also didn't have craft beer back then either. So, I mean, now with craft beers, I mean, they have so many different flavors. It's hard to not find something that you'll like. Like, you'd have to really try hard. Anyway. Enough lecturing Dylan on his beer.
Yeah, dude, he's up on the boy, man.
But Dylan, so I think it'd be interesting as with your age and with a lot of the guys that listen and a lot of the guys that we talk to on Instagram, similar in the 20s, they're, you know, in their first year or second year, or, you know, I know definitely here right now it's winter, or geez, can you imagine being up north with this polar vortex?
30-50.
Fuck, man, no way.
It's horrible.
What are some things that guys should do, especially, starting off? We already went through the steps of what you did. But, you know, as you start trying to get business and grow, what are some of the things that that you've done to do that? We mentioned that you've networked with some other detailers, which, I mean, I think is amazing, because most of the time detailers just knock other detailers. And I think one of the big things that pisses me off is when they knock other detailers to get their work. Like,
yep.
Don't go to other detailers, come to me. Like, come on, man. Like, Why don't you just talk about you first? But so what are some advice to some other young guys? I mean, you take a moment and you roll with some advice to other young detailers that are in their first 2 years that you would give them.
Honestly, it's all about making the connections. That's kind of how I started out, was it's all about making a good personal.
Cheers to that. Hey, cheers,
man.
To that.
Knowledge bombs all day, man.
But for a little, for instance, like my dad's business partners, for instance, it was, I contacted him, was like, hey, started up detailing business. Would you like me to give you a complimentary detail time or discount detail on how bad his cars was? So first time I did his cars, I did both of them for $50. I made full detail on both of them. And actually, I still do his cars once a month to this day. But it's all about just that initial connection and getting the word of mouth out. So if you're having an issue, especially in the first year or two, in my opinion, if you're having a problem with a customer or you feel like they're going to create too much of an issue over something small, saying no to a customer is not a bad thing, especially when you start out. Like, one bad review at the initial start can hurt quite a bit, so try to feel out how the customer's going to react to if you don't get everything exactly perfect, because, again, starting out, you want to provide the best, but it's not always possible.
So, did you have, like, any, like, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off there, but it is...
Yeah, fine.
Did you have any, like, I guess, anyone in the industry that was kind of mentoring you in how to start out earlier on? Or is this all, like, because a lot of the stuff you're saying is like, wow, man, if guys knew this in the beginning, like, that, like, how did you know these things? Like, was it just, is it in you? Is it just, are you business-minded? Or did someone, like, hey, man, let me just, like, let me give you all my failures so you don't mess up here, and here's what you should do?
No, believe it or not, so. One of my good buddies, Evan Rollins, he's detail here. He lives out in North Carolina. He's the one that kind of got me started with it. But my dad does own a business. And so kind of growing up around that, you get a sense of what to say,
gotcha.
What not to say. And so that's kind of where I've got most of it. And just a very people person. I can talk to pretty much anyone. I enjoy it. So casual conversations throughout. And in my opinion, everyone should practice this. But let's say you go to a fast food joint. Ask them, how's their day going? Like, try to feel them out. Just those small things, small social cues. One, it makes you more comfortable talking to people. And it also brightens their day.
I like that, man. I like that. That's good info.
That is good.
The more I had heard when I started learning to try and do sales, I had heard that if you just – anybody that you meet, you find something about them. Like, DJ, that's – a really nice hat. You got a really nice hat on today. That looks really good.
Thanks, man.
Just finding something about somebody else that is nice and you point it out really helps you start to begin to break down your insecurities for talking to people and trying to sell them, quote unquote, on a detail.
Exactly. And connecting with customers definitely makes life much easier. And there's some people that you're going to have issues connecting with that's going to be strictly business, but you can kind of break down that barrier and make a joke about something small. It definitely helps get you kind of in the door and on a much more personal level with someone, which I feel like that's where I prefer to be, at least with my customers, is more of most of my customers, especially return customers, I'm much more closer, more of a friend to. Very casual when I text them afterwards, but the initial text is always business, and then after you kind of understand how they feel, how they act about certain things you say, you can kind of get a general basis off that.
Thank you. Anything else you want to share with young guys that are getting started?
Honestly, ceramic coatings are one of those things that are a great thing, and also I feel like it's also a curse. Especially for new detailers, they want to go after they see, for instance, Topaz Detailing. When I first started out, I saw them, and there was like, this is the ultimate goal. I mean, they're doing, you know, $10,000-$15,000 details. I mean, almost every single car, it seems like. It's not always about that. Doing the normal $150 details or $75, whatever you charge, like, it's your bread and butter. That'll get you through the cold winter days, and whenever you start getting slow, that's what'll get get to view through those. So don't necessarily go after the, I know, like, I'm doing a paint correction and I have to have, like, $1,500 to do a paint correction or stuff like that. Like, not everyone will want the perfection that you may see.
Yep, that makes complete sense, because as us detailers, like, I was the same way earlier on. Like, I wanted perfection, I would charge them for perfection. You know, I'd lose a lot of opportunity, a lot of jobs, because I was quoting them based on what it needed to be perfect versus what they wanted and what they saw fit. And since I've changed my coding prices, what I use, methods and everything, like, I've made so much more money based on that theory that you just said alone.
Yeah, and honestly, again, us as detailers, we know the swirls. I would say 95% of the population don't.
They don't see it. It's so hard.
Cheers.
It's so. Cheers. Once again, okay. So and I still revert back to that old mentality sometimes, because I had a car in here one day, and it was the next morning, and I was like, Marty, Trey, come check out this car real quick. Like, this looks horrible, and they're just like, well, what'd he pay? Well, he paid this. Well, what'd he want? Well, he said it was perfect. He said it was great before he even brought it here. So what are you asking us for? Well, I don't know. It looks like shit. Like, well, yeah, it does, but they don't know. They don't, can't see it, and they're only paying
X, Y, Z. And they only paid X amount.
So, and I just sent it, and the guy loved it, like literally loved it. So it's but it was hard as me, it was hard to just send a car like that, knowing that, man, I know what I could do, or we're capable of doing within our company, and it just, yeah. So
and I think a lot of guys get just sucked in the early. I actually was talking. This is a Wednesday. It would have been Monday. No, it would have been yesterday, because I had to go get that van tag. Yesterday, I was talking to a guy down in Texas, and he was getting back into detailing, and his big questions were. He wanted to get certified in paint correction. But he was going to just be doing some, like, regular cars, nothing fancy. Just going to be, you know, detailing, you know, regular people. And I said, why is it that you wanted? Oh, I've just seen everybody, like, you got to do paint correction to do coatings. And I went, okay. All that comes from the early initiators in ceramic coatings. Those ceramic coating companies did an exceptional job at marketing towards a very niche group of detailers, right? Because it was a brand new product. They couldn't market to the masses. They had to market to a very niche group. And so they found some guys that were proactive in their social media, their websites or whatever, showing some certain quality higher end cars. And they marketed to those guys that, hey, you're a quote unquote specialty detailer. You should use our coatings and do paint correction. Right. And so everyone else assumed that we have to do paint correction, which DJ, when you and I first got into coatings.
Oh, my God. So many late nights.
I think sometimes we spent 12 hours or so.
Only correcting
the paint, because the company that we were working with at that time told us that's what we had to do.
Yeah, literally.
And so we spent all this time. And that's what I was explaining to this guy. I said, you know what? A light bulb went off when one customer after another customer after another customer. We had just spent literally 15 hours yeah. working on these cars, and they go, cool, man, thanks.
Looks great.
Yeah, looks great.
Hold on.
Like there was no, oh, man, that's a, like, oh, like, that's the same exact approach that a regular, quote, unquote, customer that we used to have at the car wash. You remember at the car wash? We would polish a car and put on a sealant, and they would walk out and go, oh, man, it looks amazing, like the day I bought it. Those guys gave us more praise than the $2,000, $1,800 jobs that we had to spend 12 hours paint correcting. The exact same comments came from them.
Pretty much.
And that's what I told this guy. I said, listen, your average daily drivers, now as ceramic coatings are coming more prevalent, then – the average daily driver, whether that's even a Lexus, a Mercedes, a Porsche, most of those guys, what they see versus what they want to pay for is what you have to
differentiate.
And if they can see it, which is why we tell people to ask the customer what they see in their paint.
Yeah.
If they see it, then you want to charge them for it, and yeah, they're willing to pay for it because they see it.
No, but what you said, like, let me back, like, ask the customer what they see. Because you taught me that once. Ask them what they see, and then you can go from there. And, like, since then, that mentality, I was like, you know what? I do it all the time. Like, it looks amazing. There's just one scratch right here. Are you kidding me, dude? This looks freaking horrible. So I can either, A, I got plenty of time, I need some money, I'm going to show them the defects, I'm going to educate them, I'm going to sell it. Or B, I'm like, dude, this is a quick $500. I got a schedule to keep. I got things to do. Like,
now, DJ, the pushback from a lot of Instagram detailers or keyboard detailers would be, you cheapened, or you hacked your customer. You hacked your detail.
The hell I did.
Right. Explain it. Why is that not a hack?
It's not a hack at all. The customer wants protection on their paint. They don't give a fuck about how great or how gloss or how much clarity it has or how much flakes are popping out of it now. Like, they got a new car. It looks great to them. They want it protected. That's what I'm going to do.
They're paying for the protection.
And you know what happens? Most times when I actually go and try to educate these guys that say their cars are perfect, and I go and I start, like, kind of low-key, not hounding them, but just like, sir, like, you know, we found this and that. And they're just like, yeah. And they just kind of get this kind of, like, kind of pushback from them. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. If they're telling me it's perfect, that means they don't want to pay any more for anything extra. That's it. That's what they want.
So you're meeting your customers' expectations? Is that what you're saying?
A client asks me tells me what they want. I'm going to give them that.
Yeah. So as a business owner, is meeting your client's expectation or customer's expectations a good thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a must.
It's a must.
Now, there's times where you need to educate customers on things. But if you're educating them versus selling them, there's two different things. Educating them is saying, yes, you know what? You're right. This looks amazing. Here's what I see. Here's what could be different. But this is what we're going to do.
Now, let's take a moment. And if you're the detail boss in Scottsdale, Arizona, that has an unbelievable shop with lighting, with this incredible wash bay, and they have nothing but these phenomenal, amazing vehicles. I mean, it's Scottsdale.
Yeah,
right?
Arizona. What else do you have?
Of course, those guys should do the work that they're doing, right?
And
but we're not talking about that group. We're talking about
The mass.
The guys that are starting out, the guys that are 2 to 3 years in. We can go even to Detail Ninja. We can go to some of the other guys.
Like, me, I used to be that. And I would only get like one correction a month. Now I'm doing like multiple, couple of weeks sometimes. Like, it's just.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you can start picking out some names of some guys that run some really good shops.
Some super high-end shops.
No. Not super high end, just really good shops. You know, they don't have these fancy, amazing lights. They don't have
$20,000
invested into their shop. They're going after some good customers, and they're booked out quite a ways. And, you know, they're not having to force down to their customers that they have to pay a $2,000, a $4,000 detail.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point of it is,
gotcha.
Like, listen, guys, if you're starting out, if you're 1 to 2 years in, you're seeing a lot of great advertising that's telling you you have to do certain things. Listen, here's the only thing you have to do. As a business, that's whether you're McDonald's, you're Walmart, you're Chick-fil-A, you're the local grocery store. You meet the customer's expectations and you provide to them what they need, right? So find your customers, see what they need, and then meet that need. You don't have to force down to them a $2,000 correction and coating job. Maybe they just want to pay $200 on top of a detail to get an extra year of protection versus a wax that's only going to last a month. So,
Marty, that was good.
That was a little rant right there.
I mean, you went on a little rant.
100%.
You hear him?
100%.
He said it.
100%.
100%. That was 100%. All right.
I'll say 95%. The only reason I disagree is I would say with the 5-year coatings, I would say full correction. That's the only thing I'll change on that one.
Cool, man.
That's fine. That's why I said a 1-year You know, you could go two, three, four, you know, somewhere in those, we call them entry level, you know,
all day.
Yeah, you start getting beyond there. If you're, if the customer's wanting to pay $1,500, then yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you find your customer. If that's your customer that wants to spend $1,500 to $2,000, then sure, you're going to spend some time on correction. But
if it's a
guy that makes $100,000 a year and he's got a wife and two kids and his wife's got a, you know, a, I don't know what a Lexus SUV and he drives a, I don't know,
Raptor,
something, you know.
There you go, perfect.
Yeah, like they want protection. They want their paint to look shiny and they want it to beat off water. And
that's it.
Yeah.
They don't care about
$300 to $500.
That's like, it.
Exactly.
And here's the analogy we use. I remember growing up and watching, you know, Mark McGwire set the home run record, and, you know, and then Sammy Sosa came behind him and beat that record. And those were two people that were dominant in the baseball world. And I grew up playing baseball. And how many other guys got into, they were in the Hall of Fame or they went to the, not the Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl's football, but what is that for baseball? I don't know. But, you know, they go into All-Star. They go into the, you know, there's so many guys that are in the All-Star game that hit singles and doubles all day long. They go in day to day and perform and grow and keep going. There's only a few that actually hit these home run records. Everyone else just produces on a day to day basis, and you get into the Hall of Fame by producing day to day. You don't have to hit home runs with $2,000 details. You can do it at $500. And to your point, DJ, your bottom line was affected once you switched from the model of 2000 to 500. Gosh.
Yeah.
Like, how many of your customers have better satisfaction and which pay more and would continue to come back and use you?
They're buying new cars. Their wife's getting new cars. Their kids are growing up and they're 16 now. Yeah. I mean, like ceramic coating is like, it's a snowball effect.
Yeah. So cool, man. That's a fun little discussion. You know, give us your social media handle. Whoa, that's a little early.
Wow, man.
I jumped the gun.
Like you just literally jumped the gun.
We got to rate the beers.
We have to rate the beers.
Now, DJ, do you want to guess what he's going to rate his Angry Orchard?
I would hope a 5. You better rate it a 5. Bring it on the podcast. Make us drink that. I mean, better rate it a 5.
You seem a little bitter about that.
Oh, man. I'm just giving you a hard time. You can
read it. Honestly, with the Angry Orchard, I do enjoy it. Again, for me, it's crisp apple, the green apple I do love. And I would say, honestly, I would put him at like a 4.5.
All right.
Oh. Hey,
to be fair.
Hey, cool.
Oh.
To be fair, man.
To be fair. All right, DJ, yeah,
I have found better ciders, which is why I said this.
Oh, what's a better cider?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you the name of it. It's one of those things I had it out while I was in Mexico, believe it or not. And after I tried it, I was like, I need to get more of this. I haven't found it since.
Was it Stone something? Isn't there like a Stone Garden? Or
Stonehenge, I think is what it is.
Stonehenge, is that what it is? Yeah, I mean.
I do like that one actually better than Angry Orchard, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's stronger as well.
Is that what Stonehenge or there's another. Yeah, you're right. Once you said that, I was like,
Strongbow.
I've
that's what Strongbow.
Strongbow. There you go.
That over Angry Orchard. I will say I would rate that a 5.
Yeah, I would not give it a 5, but I would agree that it's better than Angry Orchard. It's it's not quite as sweet. Yeah.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, Strongbow's not bad. DJ, you gotta rate Angry Orchard.
You know what, Marty? I'm gonna let you go first.
The rosé cider.
I'm gonna let you go first too.
You're going to let me go first.